Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. God bless you, each and every one. Brother Kevin Bailey is here tonight, pastoring Cumming. We love him and his family very much. And he and I go way back as long as I've been here. He was here when I got here. That was 12, 14 years ago. And faithful man, doing a good work in Cumming. And we're expecting a great revival in Cumming, Georgia. Praise God. We're believing God with him. This is home for him. And he's come back home tonight to preach to us. Amen. How many of you want him to preach the Word of God tonight? Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Bailey.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I hope you've come on this Thursday night to give the Lord your very best. He's deserving. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment and just invite the presence of the Lord into this house tonight. Come on. We're serving a living God. Let's praise him like he's living tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on. Let's worship him for a little while. I've come to have church tonight. I hope you've come to have church tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I've got this, Sister Jane, I don't know if you can play this or not, but I've got this song on my heart when I was in prayer. And we're living in a day and an hour where people are looking for something to lean on. Amen. We all need something to lean on. And as I was praying, that began to cross my mind that, you know what? What we need to do is to learn to lean on Jesus. Amen. We don't need to lean on things of the world and on our own self, but we need to lean on Jesus. So I want us to just close our eyes, if you would, and raise your hands tonight. And I want us to get our mind focused on him for a little while. I've come to preach tonight. I'm praying today that God would help me because I want to reach for somebody tonight. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning, come on, sing it with me, to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean. Come on, let's do that tonight. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Come on, let's sing it again. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. Like Jesus, life's journey from earth to glory. I only ask to be like Him. Come on, lift your hands. Let's sing it one more time. Is that your prayer tonight? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth alone, to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord. That's my prayer, to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, let's invite the presence of the Lord into this house tonight. My Lord, we need you. We need you tonight, Jesus. Oh, we need you tonight, Jesus. Come on, how many needs Him tonight? How many's in need of the Lord tonight? Come on, let's reach out to Him. No need to get in a hurry. God's in this place tonight. We need a touch from the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe God's going to do something great before we leave here. Man, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Give honor to our pastor and bishop, Brother Copeland. I love Brother Copeland with all of my heart, and Sister Copeland. And these boys, these men now, they're not boys anymore. Amen. And I believe in the Copelands, and I'm proud to be part of this church. And I've come tonight with a burden on my heart, and I want to help somebody. Amen. Some of you remember where I was before God got a hold of me. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost is an amazing thing. And I want to tell you tonight, you may be here struggling. You may be here and you're not where you want to be in God, but God can turn you around tonight. God can touch your life before you leave on this Thursday night. Amen. I want you, if you have your Bible, if you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 32. Genesis, chapter number 32. Amen. I'm thankful for all the men that come help us in coming, Brother Mayer, Brother Robertson, Brother Bill Kennedy, Brother Jett. I'm probably missing somebody. Brother Greg Walker, there's been many. Brother Robier, if I missed you, I'm sorry. There's so many, and I need you. I'm thankful to have so many good men that close to us to come help. God's doing some great things in coming. Continue to pray for us. We got this past Sunday, we had another Indian family visiting, touched by the Holy Ghost. So continue to pray for revival. Genesis chapter number 32, we're going to begin reading with verse number 24. Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. I want to call your attention back to verse number 25. The Bible says, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He was determined to get what he needed that day. And I hope and pray that there's some people on this Thursday night that's come with a made-up mind, determined for God to touch your life, to God to touch your situation, and I believe he will tonight if we let him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Brother Stroot, would you pray tonight? Oh, Jesus. God, in your name, we love you tonight.
Lord, touch us tonight as we hear your living word.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I want to talk to us for just a little while on this subject. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. If you look up the word struggle, it means to engage in conflict, have difficulty handling or coping with a situation, makes one way with difficulty, a forceful or violent effort to get free or to resist attack. I believe tonight, and I think that most of you would agree with me, if not all of you, that there is a struggle going on in each and every one of us tonight. There's a battle that takes place in every man and every woman and every young person that's in this house tonight. If you say there's not, then you are probably mistaken, because there is a struggle going on in each and every one of us. There's a struggle going on for control of everything we do. There's a struggle going on for control of everything we say. Every aspect of our life, there is a struggle going on. Paul, in his writings that we find in the book of Romans, chapter number 17, he explains to his readers just how real this struggle is. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." What was Paul telling us? He was telling us that the struggle is real. It's nothing to be embarrassed about because you are struggling in any aspect of your life. It's nothing to be ashamed of or upset, maybe upset, but not ashamed of if you're struggling in your walk with God. Can I tell you tonight, there's days that I struggle in my walk with God. Just because you are called to preach does not mean you don't have struggles in your life. Just because you've been in the church 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years does not mean that you do not have struggles in your life. The struggle that we're dealing with here tonight is real. I want to read you some quotes about struggle. "And the day came when the risk to remain tight and bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." What is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? Our attitude toward it makes all the difference in the world. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty has an opportunity. The struggle is real. It's been said that never underestimate the pain of a person, because in all honesty, everyone is struggling. Just some people are better at hiding it than others. The struggle is real. I believe everything that's in the Word of God from the beginning of the book to the end. I believe it's all in there for a reason. It's all in there for a purpose. If you don't want to listen and take my word for it tonight, just go read the writings of Paul, and he will confirm what I'm telling you tonight, that the struggle is real. But you can live for God. You can make it. You can be victorious. If you read the back of the book, the church is going to win. There's nobody under the sound of my voice tonight that cannot live for God, that cannot be what God wants you to be. But you've got to make your mind up. You've got to fight until the victory comes. You've got to hold on until the victory comes. The problem is, the devil is good at what he does. He's good at fighting. He's good at causing a struggle. And many times, people that don't have their mind made up, they will let go. They will give up in the midst of the struggle and end up leaving the church and leaving their walk with God. But can I tell you tonight, yes, the struggle is real, but yes, the power power of the Holy Ghost is even stronger than the power that's behind the struggle. I still believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I still believe that when you have the Holy Ghost, you have the power of the Almighty God inside of you that gives you the ability to take on any devil that comes your way, gives you the ability to take on any mountain that comes your way, gives you the ability to cross any river that may come your way. The struggle is real, but the power of the Holy Ghost is real as well. Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was doing some reading on boa constrictors, and if you have never read about boa constrictors, you need to look that up. It's very, very interesting. But there's some characteristics of the boa constrictor that I want to point out to you here tonight as we move on in this message. Boa constrictors are known to ambush predators. They lie, they're ambush predators. They lie in wait for the appropriate prey to come along. Boa constrictors hunt at night, and it strikes the prey with its teeth, and then it wraps itself around the prey until all the life is gone out of its victim. Then it devours the prey. It's unconscious, and the death is likely a result from the shutting off of the vital blood flow to the heart and the brain. Information that I found and read about, it said the death is caused by constriction and shut off of the blood flow to the prey. Can I tell you tonight, to me, this boa constrictor sounds a lot like the old devil that we're dealing with, the enemy that we're dealing with tonight. The Bible says that he is an old serpent. He is an old lion. He's looking for somebody to destroy. Let me tell you, nobody is out of the reach of the enemy tonight. He's after you. He's after you. He's after you. He's after you in the balcony. He's after the preachers back here. He's after me. He's lying in wait for somebody to fall prey into his hands. The devil is not going to give up. And that's how he works. He works to destroy us. What does he do? He gets a hold of us. He gets his teeth in us. He begins to wrap himself around us until the flow of the blood begins to weaken. It begins to slow down, and the struggle gets more and more and more until finally he's hoping and he's banking on that the predator, that the prey that he's got himself wrapped around will give up the struggle. They'll soon come to a place where it said it's no use. There's no use trying to live for God anymore. There's no use trying to be saved anymore. There's no use praying for that husband anymore. There's no use praying for that wife anymore. There's no use praying for that young person anymore until they give up and they just turn over and they let all the life be consumed out of. Can I tell you tonight that the struggle is real? The devil is out to get us tonight. The enemy's out to destroy us tonight. He would love nothing more than to get his foot inside this church and get his foot inside of a family tonight and cause disarray and cause discontentment in the home. But can I tell you, the struggle is real, but the power of the Holy Ghost is even more real. The power of the Holy Ghost is strong tonight. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost. The blood still works. Thank God for the blood. Come on, is anybody excited about the blood of Jesus tonight? Oh, shatayokotiyaleleyoshatayaha. Hallelujah, Lord, help me tonight. I need you, Jesus. Verse number 15, it says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What is he saying? The struggle is real. I've come to tell somebody tonight. I have no idea who's going to be here. I don't know what's going on, but I've come to let you know tonight. Yeah, you may be struggling, but you're at the right place tonight. You've come to the place where the Holy Ghost is. You've come to the place where the deliverer is. You've come to the place where your deliverance is waiting on you tonight. You've walked in here struggling and weighted down with whatever's in your life, but you can bring it to an altar, and you can lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you can leave this place a different man than you came in. You can leave this place a different woman than you came in. You can leave here delivered from your sin tonight if you'll give it to Jesus. I'll never forget Labor Day weekend 1997 in the little building down on the tracks. I walked in there, a man that was bound. That old boa constrictor, if you will, had himself wrapped around me. Some of you know I'm telling you the truth tonight. He was wrapped around me, and he was trying to choke out all the life out of me. He just about had it. it just about won. But I'll never forget that night I walked in that church and the pastor began to preach, and he preached that old message. Some of you've heard it, angels in your future. He began to preach that message that night, and something began to happen, Brother Stroop. God got a hold of me back in those chairs. I told my wife back in those days, I said, you know what, I'll never go to that church. All they got is chairs in there. They can't even afford pews. I had a bad attitude, to say the least. But when I went in there that night, God got a hold of me. God began to do something to me. God began to change. Let me tell you tonight, there's nobody sitting under the sound of my voice that's any deeper in sin than this old boy was in 1997. So I've come to tell you tonight, and I'm telling you from experience, that God can deliver no matter what the situation is. God can turn you around no matter what the situation is. God can turn your situation around no matter what the situation is tonight, because he is still God. He's still on the throne. Yes, the struggle's real. But his power is still real tonight. His delivering power is still real tonight. And you can be delivered in Jesus' name. Verse number 15, it begins with a paradox. For that which I do, I allow not. Now, if you look up, I'm not big into the Greek and all that, but I thought this was interesting. That word in the Greek that's translated, it means, what it means is, I know, I understand, or I acknowledge. So with this being said, we can look at it this way. While that sentence in that scripture may indicate I do not approve of my own actions, it could very well mean this: I do not understand my own actions. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that's ever done something to turn around and said, I wonder why I done that. I don't know why I said that. Come on, let's be real tonight. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I went there. Could that be what he's saying here tonight? Why did I do that? Can I tell you? The reason is because the struggle is real. And in 2017, the struggle is stronger than it's ever been. There's so much going on in our world today. If you don't keep up with the news, maybe that's a good thing. But if you're listening to the news, this world is in a mess. This thing is wrapping up. Jesus is coming back. As our brother always says, Maranatha, Jesus is coming back. There's no time to backslide. It's no time to turn back on God. It's no time to slack up and get complacent. This is the time when you need to be praying more than you've ever prayed. You need to be fasting more than you've ever fasted. You need to be more faithful to the house of God than you've ever been. Why? Because the struggle is real. The struggle is real. You know what? The puzzle is that even though a man desires to do good, he finds himself performing an evil which he hates. I can remember some things I did, that there was something inside of me, Brother Kyle, that did not want to do that. There was something inside of me that was trying to stop me, but the struggle's real. Come to talk to some people tonight. Listen to me. You may not be where you want to be in God. You may not even be living right tonight. But God knows the struggle's real. God understands the struggle's real. There may be somebody tonight that's not praying like you used to pray. You're not as faithful as you used to be. God knows the struggle's real. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. God's going to help you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. When you go through the fire, I'm going to be there with you. Can I paraphrase it? When you go through the rivers, I'm going to be with you. When you go over the mountain, I'm going to be with you. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be with you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Come on, you may be walking through a valley tonight. You may be struggling. It may have taken everything you've got and you're left in you to get here on this Thursday night. But let me tell you, God knew you was going to be here. And God knows what you're dealing with, and God knows the struggle's real. Paul sounded the alarm in Romans 6. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. What is he saying? In other words, let's break it down this way. He's saying the struggle is real. Nobody plans on getting addicted to drugs. I don't believe anybody wakes up one day and just decides, I want to be a drug addict. I don't believe anybody wakes up one day and says, oh, I want to be an alcoholic. I believe each and every one of us are born with some dreams in our life. We're born with some aspirations in our life, things we want to accomplish, things we want to do for God and for ourselves. But there's an enemy out there that's doing everything he can to get you off track. Everything he can to mess up those plans. Everything he can to change your world. Well, let me tell you tonight, the only person that can let him do that is you. The only person that can give the devil authority to mess your marriage up is you. The only person that can give the devil authority to mess with your walk with God is you. Because when you've got your mind made up to live for God, yes, it doesn't do away with the struggle, but it gives you power to work through the struggle. It gives you power to overcome the temptations that the devil may put in front of you. It gives you power to overcome the things that the enemy puts in front of you. It gives you power to break loose from that death grip that the old devil tries to get his arms around you. And believe me, it may start off with a pat on the back or, come on, you're going to be all right. But that pat on the back soon turns into a bear hug until he's got a hold of you, until you can't breathe and he is draining every bit of the life out of you. I've come to tell you tonight, yes, that may be happening in your life tonight. You may be in the midst of one of the biggest struggles you've ever been in, but God is still in control. God is still powerful. God is in this house tonight. The power of the Holy Ghost is evident in this place tonight. Deliverance is in this house tonight. The struggle's real, but deliverance is real. If you want it. That's the key to it. Some of you has already tuned me out. But I'm going to go home tonight knowing that I preached to you what God put on my heart. You can tune me out if you want to. But God knows the struggle's real. And he's come to help somebody tonight. The struggle to control our mind is real. Would you be honest with yourself here tonight? It's just you and God. Is the enemy messing with your mind? Has he ever messed with your mind? The struggle's real. The struggle's real to get control of your actions. The devil wants to get control of everything you do, every action you make, every step you take. Friend, the struggle's real. The struggle to control your thoughts. Driving down the road and all of a sudden, that thought comes through your head and you say, my Lord, where did that come from? The struggle's real. The struggle's real to control your soul. But more than anything, that struggle to control your eternity. You see, the devil already knows where he's headed. But he don't want to go there by himself. He would love nothing more than to drag another young person out of an apostolic church. I want you to listen to me for just a moment, young people. I was raised in the church, born and raised in a Pentecostal pew. The first man ever to hold me was a Pentecostal pastor. But the struggle's real. You've got to make your mind up that you're going to live for God. You can't go to heaven on mama's coattail. You can't make it on daddy's coattail. You got to make up your mind. You see, we're living in a day now where the devil's after. He's always been, but he's after even more our young people. I walk the aisles of our church, and I plead the blood over these young people. I say, my God, don't let them fall into the trap that I fell into. Don't let them fall into what I fell into. Don't let them have to carry the scars that I carry around for all those years that I was in the world. You don't have to carry those scars. You don't have to have the same testimony that I've got and many of these adults sitting here have. Yes, you say what? Brother Bailey, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, I do. I do. I know the struggle's real. You're looking at a man that's been through a few fights. I know the struggle's real. But I also know that God can turn anybody around. I know that God can turn your situation around. You may have come in here lost and undone tonight, but you can leave here ready to meet the Lord. You see, because what always touches me when I walk into the house of the Lord, I say, God, this may be my last opportunity. It may be my last time to walk into your presence. And I don't want to leave without getting everything you got for me. I don't want to leave here tonight without getting some help, because you see, you came in struggling and you're going to leave struggling. But you can leave with God helping you. I know what it is to feel like I've been too far, I've done too much, that God doesn't love me, that God will never forgive me. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. That's lies. We're coming up on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. You know what that's all about? It's about a God that loves you so much that he let himself be nailed to that cross. You know why he did it? He did it for you and you and you and you and you and you. God did it for you. Why? Because he knew in 2017 in Beaufort, Georgia, that the struggle was going to be real. And we were going to have something stronger than our own self-will. We're going to have something stronger than just a want to. We were going to need something inside of us that was going to give us power to overcome. And what's so exciting, you should never let this message be where it's not exciting to you. Because the Bible tells us that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us up out of here one of these days. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit of God is inside of you. And you have the power to overcome anything that the enemy throws your way. He does not have enough strength to keep his arms wrapped around you. You need to get the tenacity that Jacob had and said, I'm not going to let go until I get my blessing. I'm not going to let go until I get my victory tonight. There's some people here tonight that needs to get a hold of what I'm preaching. You need to get an attitude. I'm not leaving this Thursday night service until I get victory over what I'm struggling with. I'm not leaving here tonight until I get victory over the adversary in my life. You see, I'm sick and tired of fighting the same old Goliath day in and day out. I told our church Wednesday night, you know what, it's time. David knew that that stone in and of itself was not enough. That's why the Word of God says that David took that sword out and he went to Goliath and took the head off of that giant. And I believe David, could you just follow along with me for a moment? Maybe David picked that head up and said, oh boy, I'll never have to fight you again. It's time for some people under the sound of my voice tonight to not be satisfied with just knocking the devil down, but you need to get in an altar and get a hold of a sword tonight and take the head off of that devil. Take the head off of that Goliath and say, I'm never going to fight this again. I'm never going to struggle with this again. Come on, you need to get excited about God can help you deliver you from your struggle tonight. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm struggling with cigarettes. Oh, this old boy struggled with cigarettes too. You need to take the head off of that giant tonight. I'm struggling with alcohol. Well, this old boy struggled with alcohol too. You need to take the head off of that giant tonight. But you know what? We think of sin. We think of all that. We always think of drugs, alcohol, pornography, all these things. Sometimes it's our attitude. Sometimes it's our spirit. Sometimes it's our mouth. That song, Learning to Lean, I told our church Wednesday night, I said, you know what? We are the church. It's not this building. We're the church. And we're living in a day when people are looking for somebody, something to lean on. Why do you think there's people falling into drugs? They're looking for something to lean on. falling into alcohol. Why do you think people are falling into illicit affairs and all these? They're looking for something. And we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We need to be strong enough that those people out there that are struggling can lean on us. We are the eyes and the hands and the arms and the feet, the extension of Jesus Christ in the world today. And the song says, learning to lean on Jesus. We need to be in a position that they can lean on us. You know what? You need to be strong enough that your brother and your sister sitting beside you tonight can lean on you. The church is designed to help one another. When one is down and the other is strong, they reach down and pick their brother up and they brush them off and they put them back on their feet and say, come on, I know the struggle's real, but we're going to win this thing together. I know that you're struggling, brother, but I'm going to help you tonight. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to speak a word of faith into your ear. I'm going to help you win your battle tonight. That's what the church is designed to do. But we've lived long enough to see where that don't always take place. Many times the altar's full of the same people over and over and over and over. There's not room for anybody else to get down because it's the same people struggling with the same thing, fighting the same Goliath, fighting the same devil day in and day out, week in and week out. Can I tell you tonight, you don't have to live your life that way. You don't have to walk with God that way. You can bring it to an altar tonight and once and for all take the head off of that Goliath that you've been dealing with so you'll be able to strong enough to help somebody else. So when these visitors walk in here on Easter Sunday that are looking for something, you are strong enough that you can say, come on, brother, let me lead you down to the foot of Calvary and introduce you to a God that loved you so much that he shed his blood for you, that he gave his life for you. He knows that your struggle's real. He knows what you're dealing with. You may be trying to hide it, but God knows what it is. When God came into the garden after Adam and Eve had fallen, they tried to hide from God. God knew where they were at. But I believe God wanted them to fess up. You know what the first step on the road to healing is? It's confession. Admitting, God, I need help. Your pride's going to take you to hell. That was one of Lucifer's biggest falls is his pride. Pride will take you to hell. You need to take a sword out and cut the head off of that devil tonight. The struggle's real. And this enemy we're talking about is willing to struggle as long as it takes to wear you down and to claim victory over you. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible tells us when the armies of Israel, they were hiding, they were being intimidated by this enemy, Goliath. Little old David walked up and he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? Is there not a reason to continue in this struggle as long as it takes in order to get victory? It may be a hard struggle. It may be a long struggle. It may be a fight. But brother, you can't afford to lose it. I'm going to say it again. It may be a hard fight. It may be a struggle. It may take a while, but you cannot afford to lose this battle. Your eternity is riding on who wins this battle. David knew when he took on Goliath, it's not just me I'm worried about, but if I lose this battle, my people is going to fall into slavery. As a father, I worry about and pray for my children that if I fall, what's going to happen to them? And I know the Bible says save yourself from this untoward generation, but I can't help but believe that the way I live has effect on my children. And my grandchildren. He said, is there not a reason? I want to ask you tonight, is there not a reason to continue to struggle? Is there not a reason to continue to fight? Is there not a reason to live right? I believe there is. There is a reason. In fact, there's many reasons. And I'm trying to hurry. I don't know what time it is. I'm trying to hurry. But there's many reasons to live for God. In a conversation I had with a very dear friend of mine several years ago that was struggling, it was going through some hard times. He quit fighting. He'd given up. And we began to talk, and the question was asked, why should I get right with God? Why should I get back into the fight? Why should I jump back into the struggle? Well, my answer was, I can think of many reasons. One of them, I don't want to go to hell. But on the other hand, I tell our church, if you're living for God because you're scared of going to hell, you're living for God for the wrong reason. I said, I can give you many reasons. One of them, I don't want to go to hell, but let me give you two good reasons right now that you need to get back in this fight. You need to get back in this struggle. You need to get back in the church. You need to live for God. Two good reasons. Your children. And I named them. Is there not a cause? The struggle's real. I want the musicians to come. I'm getting ready to wind this up. In the text that we read tonight, the Bible says Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled. He wrestled with this man until the breaking of the day. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? The Bible says Jacob was left alone. Friend, I've come to tell you tonight the struggle is real. And many times it's fought in those times when the noise has ceased. Many times this struggle is fought when the family has retired for the night and everybody's gone to bed. Many times this struggle is fought when the doors of the church are already been locked and the lights have been dimmed until the next service. When the voice of the preacher is no longer ringing in your ear and you're all by yourself, that's when the struggle gets real. That's when the enemy comes in, because you see, just like the boa constrictor, he waits till the prey is by himself or by herself. And he comes in for the attack. And he attacks first with his teeth. You see, because he knows the preacher's voice is not ringing in your ear anymore because you've had time to get your mind on something else. So he begins to fill your ears full of things that you don't need to hear. He begins to put visions in your eyes that you don't need to see. The struggle's real. I talked to a lady today. This struggle is real. This is how real it is. She came to me and she said, the devil has been dealing with me about leaving my family, leaving everything, and leaving this country and just fleeing. Brother Mayor, you were there. But last Sunday I preached, the Sunday before last, I preached a message about Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah decided to get on a boat and head to Tarshish. Jonah made up his mind, I'm going a different direction than what God wants me to go. And it cost him. You see, the Bible says he paid the fare thereof to get on that ship. History tells us that the ship of Tarshish, is known as a ship that's bound for a long journey. You see, anytime you try to go out of the will of God, anytime you try to turn around and run from God, you are setting yourself up for a long journey. And I began to preach about Jonah and how he began to go the different direction, and God sent the storm and God sent the fish to swallow him up, and he ended up going where God wanted him to go. And she said, when you begin to preach that, God begin to deal with me. And all of those thoughts I've been having, all the enemy telling me I need to pack up and leave, that stuff began to flee. That stuff began to leave my life. And God touched me, and now I'm better, and now I'm thinking right again. Why? Because God knows that the struggle is real. There may be somebody here tonight under the sound of my voice that you've been contemplating leaving the church. You've been contemplating backsliding, going back into the world. But let me ask you something. What did the world do for you when you were there? It's going to do exactly the same thing if you go back, even worse. The struggle is real. You see, it's when you're left alone. The struggle for your soul is real. It's when you're left alone that the struggle for your family is real. It's when you're left alone that the struggle for your future is real. That's when Satan comes in, when you're by yourself and he just tries to get a hold of you, tries to wrap himself around you just to get you to give up and surrender and just say, there's no use. I've messed up too many times. There's no use. Don't listen. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. The struggle's real. I haven't come to say any different. I know it's real. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be a young person sitting on a pew, and I got friends at school are trying to pull me one way and friends in the church pulling me another way, and there's a struggle going on inside of me. I know what it's like to be a man when the world is pulling at me and my family's pulling at me and I'm being torn apart and there's something inside of me trying to get me to do things that I should not be doing. I know the struggle is real. But I also know forgiveness is real. I also know the blood of Jesus is real. And it's time for somebody to get a hold of this tonight and begin to fight until the daylight breaks in your life again. Remember the words that said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The struggle is real, but God's love is real. Would you stand with me? Let's begin to worship the Lord tonight. The altar's open. Come on, I know the struggle's real. God knows the struggle's real. Don't be embarrassed if you're struggling, if you just need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Don't be embarrassed to step out of that pew and make your way to an altar and say, my God, I need your help tonight. My God, I need a fresh touch tonight. My God, I need a fresh touch tonight. I need a fresh anointing in my life. Come on, young people.
I need you, Lord.
Come on, mamas and daddies.
I need you, Lord.
Come on, backslider, if you're in the house tonight and you're not where you need to be, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, the struggle is real, but you can get your life ready before you leave here.
I need you more.
Oh, come on, it's time for more than a five-minute trip to an altar. We need to get in touch with God tonight.
I need you, Lord.
We need deliverance.
I need
we need victory.
I need you, more.
You need to leave this place tonight with your Goliath's head in your hands. I'll never have to fight this battle again. I'll never have to struggle with this addiction again. Come on, church, let's reach out to the Lord tonight. Come on, this is for everybody. The struggle's real. The struggle's real. opportunity pass you by. The power of the Holy Ghost is in operation in this place tonight. You can leave here delivered. You can leave here a new woman. You can leave here a new man. Oh, come on, let's put it on the altar tonight.